Church looks lovely, particularly from up here. I hope it looks lovely from down there. It's something we all know, isn't it, from childhood, that princes and princesses live in castles. Isn't that right? I expect if I asked you to imagine a castle fit for a princess, you would think of something like the Disney castle with soaring towers and roaring fires. When Prince George and Princess Charlotte were born, they weren't born in a castle, but they did receive the best medical treatment that is available in London at the Lindo Wing of St Mary's Hospital. If you've never heard of it, it is private. All the rooms have private bathrooms, satellite television, free Wi-Fi, and chefs who cook whatever you want for you. They also have an optional afternoon tea for your family when they come to visit. Expect that's quite expensive. The visiting wise men thought that Jesus, born to be the king, would be born in the first century equivalent of the Lindo Wing of St Mary's Hospital in London. So they went to the palace, the most comfortable, most expensive, most lavish place in all Israel. But Jesus wasn't there. When Jesus was born, there was no Disney castle. There was no privacy. There were no chefs cooking Mary whatever she wanted. There was no epidural. No team of surgeons waiting to do an emergency C-section. There was no bed. Mary had to lay Jesus in an animal's feeding trough. Instead of afternoon tea with the family, a bunch of smelly shepherds arrived from the hills to crowd into the already crowded room. And as for Joseph, Mary was his wife, but Jesus wasn't his son. Christmas is not much of a fairy tale. For months now, my Facebook news feed has been full of people slagging off 2016. I don't know if any of you have Facebook and you have the same affliction. I can see why. It began, didn't it, with the deaths of some much-loved celebrities, people like Alan Rickman and David Bowie. 2016 continued with political earthquakes, from the unexpected Brexit to Donald Trump winning the election in America. And through all that, the situation in Syria has got worse and worse. If 2016 were a fairy tale, it would need an extremely happily ever after to make up for the rest of it. For many people, the fresh start of 2017 can't come soon enough. Although, of course, if you're Andy Murray, 2016 has been a very good year. You see, when things are difficult, when we face turbulent times such as these, out there in the world or at home, closer to home with friends or family, often people ask the question, why? Why, God? Why? Why did you let this happen? But the problem with that question is that God's answer is rather unsatisfying. He says things like, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. In other words, you're not going to understand. And I don't know about you, but that's not the answer I want. But that's because why is the wrong question. If we ask a slightly different question, where were you, God? Where were you when this happened? Where were you when that happened? Then we get a much better answer. And the answer to that question is the true meaning of Christmas. Where are you, God? In fact, we heard the answer to that question in our last reading. The angels spoke to Joseph to reassure him that Mary hadn't been sleeping around. The child was from God. She was still a virgin, fulfilling an ancient prophecy. As Matthew says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. That name, Emmanuel, means God with us. In Jesus, God came to live with us as one of us. Christmas is not a fairy tale. Jesus wasn't born like royalty in a private hospital with servants and chefs waiting on him. He was born like everyone else at the time, with his parents. He was born into an ordinary family at home. God with us. The answer to the question, where is God, is quite simple. He is with us. Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry, sad, happy, lonely. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed, let down by his closest friends. Jesus knows the feel of the wind on his face, the beauty of a mountaintop, the satisfaction of a hard day's work. Jesus knows what it's like to feel pain and to face death of a loved one and your own. He knows what it's like to be one of us because he is one of us. He is human, like you and like me, with one important difference. He is God as well. Somehow in Jesus, God became a man. Somehow in Jesus, God made his home with us. Not to enjoy the view, but because we needed him. See, we don't normally use the name Emmanuel because we use his other name, Jesus. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus means God saves. And the angel gave him that name because, he said, he will save his people from their sins. You see, 2016 is a symptom. It's a symptom of how messed up this world is. And for that, I'm afraid to say that all people together, all of us, everywhere and every when, are responsible. We've all of us taken the wonderful gift of life from God and acted as though we earned it. Instead of living it God's way, as we were made to, we follow our own paths. And that's what the Bible calls sin. We had that in a couple of our readings. Sin is much more serious than taking an extra chocolate from the Christmas tree when no one's looking, or having an extra mince pie when they're 250 calories each. Every human being who has ever lived suffers from the same problem. Our hearts are damaged and broken by sin. Every human being, that is, except one, Jesus. 2016 is a symptom of that problem. So unfortunately, I'm afraid to say 2017 isn't the cure. The world is not going to get any better all by itself because we are the problem. We can't fix it by ourselves. But thankfully, we don't have to. Christmas is not a fairy tale. It is very good news. See, Jesus wasn't born to enjoy the view. He was born to save us from the mess that we've gotten ourselves into. Jesus was born so that everyone, no matter when or where they were born, might have the chance of a fresh start, of a new life. We can't fix ourselves, but in Jesus, we have the only way to a true, abundant, and everlasting life. And that life isn't magic or make-believe. Christmas is not a fairy tale. That life cost Jesus everything. His own life. The cost to us is what Elton John described as the hardest word. Do you know what that is? Sorry. Saying sorry to God. It won't cost you a penny. But it does cost our pride. We say sorry to God for ignoring him, for living as though he doesn't exist. We say sorry to him for living as though we know best. But when we say sorry, we find that God isn't sullen or grumpy, but delighted, ready and willing to welcome us home, to forgive us completely. We find God our true and perfect Father. We find he is longing to run to us, to throw his arms around us and say, "Welcome home, my child." And that is the best present we could receive this Christmas. God doesn't always give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. So Christmas begins with and is really all about Christ. As he was born into his earthly family 2,000 years ago, so may we join our heavenly family this Christmas through God's only Son, who is called Emmanuel, God with us, and Jesus, God saves. That is the best present we could receive this Christmas. Amen. We're going to have our next reading now.